Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Than anything else he could give them. The gift of himself is a greater gift than any of those things. And his coming would be a greater delight than a $2.5 million home somewhere. Can you say amen? Because we got a place in heaven that's going to blow that away. Can you say amen? In the Father's house, there are many mansions. Amen. Eyes not seen and ears not heard. Only the Spirit reveals the things of the Spirit to us. When we have a heart for him, we set our affections on things above and people above. Can you say amen? And not on things beneath. We got an earthbound gospel going on right now that's set on things beneath, that harps on things beneath. The main focus on that that's being preached is the here and now, not that wonderful world that is to come. It's only good for blessings in this world. It doesn't reach out beyond this realm. It doesn't long to come into the very presence of Almighty God and have him manifest himself to us personally. How can you love a God who never ever touches you in any way that's tangible and personal? You don't love by faith. God manifests himself. And the way he loves is by the Holy Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Spirit. That's not in your head. That's in your heart. Something you sense deep within you. Something your spirit and his spirit relate to each other in a loving way. And this is why that Pentecostalism has to go beyond just just feelings and begin to embrace this person and be embraced by this person. If he holds me, I literally holds me to himself. That's where my fears subside. Amen. His presence is what takes care of that. It's not my faith just based on a force within me, Terry. It's the presence of the Lord that soothes my troubled soul. Can you say, man, get me into the presence of God? David put it this way. when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a refuge for me and a shelter from my enemies. A shelter for me and a refuge from my enemies. Praise God. When it said the name of the Lord is a strong tower, it means that he identifies himself to us through the way he's manifest himself to people. So when they say Jehovah Shalom, it means someone found that this God, in his presence, there's a great peace provided. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Whatever they named him, Yahweh Shalom, Jehovah Shalom, means that you can come into a presence that will produce peace in your life. Can you say amen? Everybody say, that peace comes through a presence of the Lord. Amen. That's why the Holy Spirit manifests that peace, that fruit or product of peace. Starts out with peace with God, but it doesn't stop with peace with God. That reconciling work of the blood of Jesus. Amen. It goes on to the peace of God. When you can come into his presence, amen, there's a peace that floods your soul. Amen. You don't just get that because the Holy Spirit comes on you. I've seen people so troubled that have got almost all of the manifest power gifts operated toward them. People that have been healed and still troubled in their mind. People that have fallen out and for an hour laid on the floor and spoken other tongues, but got up as troubled in their mind and heart and agitated. I know of people tonight that have been in some of the greatest so-called powerful moves of God and yet are right now, this moment, in hospitals for the mentally disturbed. They missed something, didn't they? Not criticizing, I'm saying, I don't want you to get in that kind of powerful presence and not experience that peace. What good would all this power be without that peace? Amen. What is this straining in the presence of such a holy, wonderful one? He wants to take that load off. When he said, come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden, he wasn't just talking about the lost and undone world, but that religious crowd with all of the responsibilities and pressures laden upon them. And he said, you know, if you're really going to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're not going to find him the hard taskmaster that you think him to be and that man has portrayed him. Amen. Come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden, trying to meet that standard that will bring you some kind of blessing. And I'll give you peace. And I'll give you rest for your soul. I am not just a God of greatness and power. I am a God of goodness and love. And because I'm a God of goodness and love, you can come into my presence and I can cover you like a mother hen covers her chicks. That's what I wanted to do to my covenant people at Jerusalem, but they wouldn't let me do it. I would have taken the heavy burden from them and I would have warmed them in my love and protected them from the hand of the enemy, and they could have rested securely in me. Yea, saith God, I give you the same offer in your generation. Come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. I have never received anyone's biblical knowledge or biblical instruction from anyone with a furrowed brow all the time. If you don't have peace, you're missing something. Can you say, man? And I don't want nothing that burdens me more. I'm not talking about being accountable or responsible. I'm telling you, his, when you love him and you experience his presence, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. If the yoke isn't easy, the burden isn't light, it's a man-made religious legalistic thing. It isn't coming from Christ. Woo! Did you hear what I'm telling you? If the yoke isn't easy, the burden light, Jesus didn't put that on you. Somebody put a trip on you, and it sure wasn't Jesus. And last time I looked, we're supposed to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad for the freedom there is in the Lord? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I serve him because I love him. And there's a joy in it, not just a job. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Woo! Hallelujah. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Yea, whom the Son liberates is liberated indeed. Yea, the reason for joyful singing, the reason for great rejoicing, is I've delivered you just like Zion of old, saith God. I brought you up out of the land of bondage. Rejoice in the glorious liberty of the sons of God, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to the Lamb. That's not freedom to sin. Get that off your mind. People that love Jesus are not looking for a way to sin and get by with it. They want to get closer to him. And they do it because they love him and they give their life to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Nobody's going to browbeat anybody into obedience. It won't work. It's never worked. But people love Jesus enough to lay down their life for him. Can you say amen? And live a life exclusively for him. But that comes through, amen, a fellowship relationship where we experience his presence. That doesn't come by just learning the Bible. That doesn't just come by dutifully praying, but coming into a fellowship relationship where prayer becomes simply talking to someone that you love who loves you back. Can you say, man? And it takes all of that pressure off of it. Dear Lord, I didn't pray for an hour today. I got a mark against me, and I got to pray two tomorrow to make up for it. That's heavy laden stuff. Can you say, man, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I want you to know me like I know my Father. Father, I want them to be in us like you're in me and I'm in you. I want to get to all of this burdensome stuff and all this man-made stuff. Why teach ye, amen, for commandments, the traditions of men? Amen. God didn't say certain things that man has come up with in their religious systems. That's why Christianity is such a wonderful thing. There's a danger that people will abuse it, but there's a greater danger that people will begin to serve God for other reasons other than love. And when we lose the first love, it doesn't matter how powerfully, beautifully, mightily that we're doing all the do's and not doing all the don'ts. He said, when you lose that, fellas, that's brought about by fellowship, when you lose the first love, it's all in vain. I'm going to take your lampstand. That means you're going to be walking around. Nobody's going to see me. They're going to see a bunch of self-righteous Christians with furrowed brows, beat down and pointing their finger at everybody else. Can you say amen? And when they get a good look at that, it's repulsive. It turns them off. Can you say amen? You'll never win anybody with that attitude. You don't win people. We become a cloistered little group of self-righteous people that the world doesn't even want to be near, let alone listen to about Jesus Christ. Amen. And I've been around people like that, and they thought they were doing God a service, and they were not, and they did not. Amen. And they live in that place. Jesus said, listen, what I'm offering you is something entirely different. The kingdom of God I'm talking about is righteousness. Righteousness means that you have access to God. You're right wise with God. He accepts you. He accepts you on the basis of the blood of Jesus, and you can come into His very presence and have fellowship relationship with Him. And that produces something called peace. Can you say, man? In that presence, there's great, powerful, wonderful peace. Hallelujah. Amen. And because you have that peace of His presence, amen, there's a joy of that fellowship, and it's called joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because He is that one that manifests the presence that we have fellowship with. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He doesn't just zap you with joy. He zaps you with Jesus. Anyway, just thought I'd run that by you before we go anywhere else. Let's just pray tonight as we just study the Bible just a little bit further. I love the Lord tonight. I am so glad that I am free to serve Him. I'm free to be me, and I pray that He's changing me. Amen. But I'm not going to present myself as a finished product, but I'm going to present myself as a work in progress. How many people would rather be known as a work in progress than a finished product? Amen. Because actually, I have not found a finished product in all of Scripture. Paul said, you know, I've wrote 13 to 27 books of the New Testament. I've seen a place called Third Heaven, beyond the universe that the telescopes can see and the shuttle satellite can see. Amen. I'm beyond that. I went to a place higher than all of that. Praise God. A place where man can't probe with his spacecraft. Amen. There's the heavens that we see. There's the heavens beyond what we see. And there's His heaven beyond all of that. Called Third Heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And that's somewhere our mind can't even go hardly, let alone our telescopes and spacecraft. There's no end to space, and there's no end to God. Hallelujah. Amen? If you'll walk in your liberty, I'll give you joy. If you will enter into my presence, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I am not hard to find, and I am not hiding. But if I don't have your whole heart, something else or someone else will have it, saith the Lord. Yea, but if you will seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. And when you find me, you will find joy, and you will find peace like you have never known, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. I want to see people get hungry for the presence of the Lord. Amen. I don't mean just at church either. I mean in your personal daily life. My dad used to love to play that song on the fiddle, and one of his great favorites was, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me. And He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. Hallelujah. That's where peace is. Can you say amen? That's where joy is. The joy of the Lord is your strength is in the context of fellowship with God. Amen. Not in the context of the Holy Ghost zapping you with something that lifts your emotions for a little while, but is not sustained in the ups and downs of your life experience. What God offers, amen, is the promise of His presence no matter what touches your life. Lo, I am with you always. It's that joy of that presence that is the joy of the Lord in Scripture. No other joy in here. That's it. That's it. Say, what about the fruit of joy? Well, that is a product of the Holy Spirit's work, and He's the one that manifests Christ so that joy can come. It's not just joy as a generic. It's joy as a result of a relationship with Jesus. Can you say amen? So quit trying to hop like a bunny on Sunday, amen, and if you can't live in some sustained victory Monday through Saturday. It doesn't work. I've seen too many bunny hoppers. And I've seen too many people have too many experiences on the outside and never get the deep, settled peace of God on the inside. And I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather have the deep, settled peace of God and the genuine joy of His presence than any outward expression that there could possibly be of the Holy Spirit. Because this stuff outlasts your storms. This stuff outlasts the trials. Let's pray tonight. God has been good. Glad to have you. Praise God. We missed you. Bad. And that's good, because that means you're very important, man. Hallelujah. We'd clone you if we could. Amen. If the Lord wouldn't let us, but then we... Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord. We love you, Mike. It's what we're trying to say. We don't just use you. We appreciate you very, very much. Very, very much. Hallelujah. You keep us on key, and that ain't easy. Hallelujah. But we love Jesus here, too. Amen. Yeah, we use you, too. Hallelujah. But we love you and use you, so it's okay. Hallelujah. God has been good today. I have that joy in my life. And I know the coming of the Lord is near, and a lot of people are not ready for that. I want to pursue the presence of the Lord. I want to encourage other people to do it as well. You can lose that heart that is in pursuit of God. As A.W. Tozer wrote the great book, In Pursuit of God. Every time I see the title, I don't even have to open the book. It just reminds me of where my heart should be running after, what it should be running after in all of my life. Amen. We should get a, I can't wait to get to the Bibles. I can't wait to pray. I can't wait to get in church. I can't wait to put on that praise disc that I bought today at the Christian bookstore. I can't wait to, on my way to work, put it in my CD player in my car and just get just something to help stimulate me, amen, to want to be closer to Him. You can't just push everything else aside. You can't even just study for your Sunday school class, can you? Amen. And give it out to somebody else, or study for your home Bible study and say, well, I'm going to wow them with this. There is a personal relationship with Jesus that only you and Jesus can work out. And He wants us to work on that. For the joy of the Lord is indeed our strength. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for this day. We thank You for our visitors this morning. We thank You for people that are somehow finding us without hardly any advertisement that You're drawing back. A man here this morning that hadn't seen us for 23 years, praise God, but he found us, praise the Lord. We're grateful for that. Grateful for his wife that came with him. Grateful for the vision that You've given us. Grateful for being able to go tomorrow and put a deed on file and have it legally settled that now we're in a position for an equity loan because we own this lock, stock, and barrel. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, we just praise You for the people You've given us that shared the vision and stayed faithful. We're going to see the fruit of our labors. And we thank You, Father, for what You're doing and for what You've done and for what You're about to do ahead of time. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for singing. That same song from this morning, do we still have that? This is the year. I want to wear that a little bit thin and do that again in worship as we close tonight, because I believe that. It's not just a catchy tune. It is really what I believe in my heart. Not because we have went from 2005 to 2006, but simply because we are growing spiritually. Amen. And as we grow spiritually, Jesus, as He grew physically and spiritually in the sense of his personal life, Amen. As he began to grow, actually, he was God incarnate, so there wasn't a whole lot of spiritual growth taking place. But as the man part of him had to develop, that part of him had to go through trials and tests. That part of him had to feel and sense temptation to understand our frame. So he was fully God and fully man. And that man part of him, the Bible said, that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Isn't that incredible? Pilate said, I don't find any fault with him. There were people with an agenda to hurt him and that hated him for exposing them more than anything else. Amen. And exposing a dead religious system. By the, let me remind you, a lot of people got upset because, the high priest of that day wanted him dead and inspired the people to want him dead. And it was the religious system of that day. We're a long way from that day, so no one should take that personal. Amen. But it is organized, man-made religion that wanted Jesus on that cross. Not Rome, not Caesar, not Pilate. It was the religious crowd that wanted him dead. Amen. Because he exposed it. And the death that was in it. He never preached like he preached to them to anybody else. Self-righteousness is something that really stinks in God's nostril. Amen. It always has and it always will. The only justified people are the honest and earnest people who open their life to him and confess their sins before him. Amen. And their weaknesses, not the people that stand in some pious self-righteousness and speak condescendingly to other people. God has never blessed that, never ordained that. Amen. He told the self-righteous crowd, when you make a convert, you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. And when you do, one conversion to your religious philosophy or way of thinking of what a proselyte was. Amen. When you do that, you make him twice the child of hell as you are. In other words, you're lost. He's going to be lost as you are. Because what you have has no reality in it. It has a form of godliness that denies the power. The power of godliness is not speaking in tongues and gifts of the Spirit. It's not something Pentecostals can get a handle alone is their cross. You know, no, the power of godliness, amen, is the power of an everlasting life and is the power of a life that is inhabited by God's Spirit, praise God. A life that where we actually can come into the presence of the Lord and know Him for ourselves. I'm not going to put my soul's destiny out there on what somebody tells me, amen, about God. His Spirit and my Spirit have to connect at some point. If I've been saved. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Evidently, there's got to be a spiritual connection going on. Amen. So when it comes time for me to die, I don't wonder about anything. There's nothing up in the air. Amen. Along the way, there's been confirmations by the Spirit of God that I belong to Him. And He's my Savior and I am His child. Amen. That's where that peace comes from. That is very powerful stuff. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to go back over some ground tonight. I didn't know we were going there, but I happen to have two books here. And since we have a scripture that I would like to read from, turn with me to Nehemiah 8, verses 1 through 10 for just a little while this evening. And let's look at this together for just a few moments. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. And this is what we talked about earlier in one of the earlier sermons, and this is where the Holy Spirit has went tonight. I didn't know we were actually going to go here. Actually, I wanted to continue this morning's message, and it happens to be in my same little notebook here on faith. Maybe we'll do that next Sunday if the Lord wants us to do that. But if you have your Bible in Nehemiah 8, verses 1 through 10, I'm just going to, for time's sake, stop at verse 10. Because verse 10 is where we, let me just tell you about it. So we set 10 up again. Ezra stood, the high priest, before the people, read from the book of the law. They are now ready. They've come back out of bondage. They want to hear God's word. And as they're hearing God's word out of a heart for God's word, they realize how far they've drifted from it, and they are brokenhearted. They are repentant in their heart. They've made up their mind to change their mind. And Sister Venable, are you available? I got it. Never mind. There's something on my glasses. I think it was saliva. Or is it saliva? I thought I needed someone to clean my glasses for me. My dutiful wife would come a-running. Anyway, praise God. Moving right along. And the people are heartbroken because they saw how far they've drifted. You know, the Word of God is designed to reprove and rebuke, as well as to build up and exhort and instruct. There's a reproving element of God's Word. There's a rebuking element of God's Word. When I get wrong in attitude, God's Word's going to rebuke that. If I have a heart for God, I'm going to receive that rebuke. And I'm going to repent. And God is going to bless me in spite of the attitude that I got wrong, because now I've made it right. There's nothing wrong ever with getting right with God. Amen. And when we get to a place, and I'm not going to stay on this, but I must address it. I can't avoid it. It's in my face. It's going to be in your face if it isn't already. When we're in the seeker-friendly, user-friendly church movement of today, the modern movement, we don't want to reprove or rebuke, because that would make people stay away. Because that's going to involve, we would have to humble ourselves to receive reproof or rebuke. And I believe when we stand before the presence of a holy God, as our God is, amen, He has the prerogative to rebuke anything wrong in me and anything wrong in you. That's the servant-child, father-child relationship. That's the servant and king relationship. If Jesus is Lord, He has the prerogative to rebuke something wrong in me. And I should be glad to have a loving God put me in check when I need it, instead of let the devil have his way in my life and let my flesh rule me. Amen. So when I get wrong in attitude, I get reproved and I get rebuked. And a lot of time it comes through the Word of God itself or some preaching I hear, because it brings me face to face with my own personal need. Amen. The Word of God is quick and powerful. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the Bible said that all of it is so the man of God might be fully furnished to every good work. But it's the parts of it that reprove as well as the parts of it that build up. It's good for edification, and it's good for correction, and it's good for instruction in righteousness, and it's good for reproof and rebuke. When did the church get above rebuke? What's our problem with being reproved when we're wrong? I mean, that's the ultimate pride, is saying, don't ever point out a wrong in me. What made David a man after God's own heart wasn't that he was never reproved or rebuked, but when he was, he received it and repented. When a man pointed his finger at him and said, "You're the man," David just wept. David was crushed. David repented. And wrote those wonderful psalms like Psalm 32 after that event, and said, "Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, when I held my peace, when I held it in, and there was nothing to reprove me and nothing to bring me to a place of repentance, my bones, see, the guilt ate away at him. He had this outside that looked so wonderful, but inside he was withering. He was dying. He said, "My bones waxed old with roaring all day long." This was 24/7. And he said, "My moisture was turned to drought." Amen. People that have to drink to numb themselves to the what's really going on the inside of them, amen, are doing that because something's terribly wrong. I'm so glad I'm not drinking tonight, not just because as a Christian, I'm censored from it. I'm glad I'm not drinking tonight because I simply don't need it. I don't need to be numbed to live my life. Hallelujah. Life is good because God is good. And the Holy Spirit is wonderful. Wow. I'm not shooting up tonight because I'm censured from it by a God who says, don't do those things like the world. I'm not shooting up tonight because I'm high on life and I'm high on Jesus. And I don't need a synthetic high from a needle. I don't need to numb myself, and I don't need to hype myself up to have a good time. When time comes to worship God, sometimes I hoot and holler. Hallelujah, because the joy wells up on the inside of me, and I love that feeling of joy welling up on the inside. Praise God. Amen. It's good not to do the things that are sin because you are being so fulfilled in Christ you don't need them. The devil being very sly, he will come with other sins. Can you say amen? If those sins don't tempt you anymore, why bother? He'll bring some other ones, and self-righteousness is one of them. Amen. And losing your humility and becoming stubborn and headstrong, self-willed is some of that. Becoming so religiously oriented that you've lost that relationship, losing the first love is another one of those sins that will come. You lose that ardent love, all of this becomes ho-hum because you know it. But if you keep that ardent love, Jesus Just the mention of your name. That's all it takes. Amen. For your heart to begin to soften and to open up to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Remember when anybody have, you know, when you were in high school or something, you would write the name of your love on a piece of paper. Just the initial. Pamela was Pamela Parker. I was Robert Venable. I still am. Amen. Although she's changed. But I would put RV plus PP. Now, nobody sees that but me. Amen. But it looks so good because that's the person I love. Just writing down, Robert loves Pamela. Remember when that was so cool? I mean, it's so stupid, so silly. I mean, some of you, I look at, you're becoming spiritual now. See, there's none of that kind of real, real sweetheart love with Christ anymore. That's gone. That's long gone. I love the Lord. See, that's what you got now. That's the brand you got. I really love Him. To love the Lord is to hate evil. And you're evil. And I hate you. No, that's how it comes over. I know you don't mean it that way, but that's how it comes over. It's not supposed to come over that way. Somebody asked me at work, why are you working hard? They've cut your pay. Why are you still working hard? I said, because I love my master. I'm doing what I do is unto the Lord. I couldn't even come out here another day if I didn't do it that way. Amen? You've got to do it as unto the Lord. And it's not going to mean anything doing it unto the Lord if you don't have a real relationship with the Lord. But if you have a real relationship with the Lord, there's a fellowship that brings a peace and a peace of that relationship that produces a joy. Amen. It goes from righteousness to peace to joy. And the sequence is important. The order is important. It starts with getting right with God. And I'm not talking about a little bit right. I'm talking about thoroughly right. The kind of right that David got when he said, against thee have I sinned, O God. You're righteous in your judgments, and whatever punishment you feel that I should receive, it wasn't that woman's indiscretion bathing where she could be seen. It was me. I did it. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't the woman. It was me. I had the choice. I made it. It wasn't the circumstances. No wonder David was a man after God's own heart. We've got an excuse for every sin. Your flesh will manufacture an excuse to keep you from repenting. Because if you repent, you're going to get really right with God. Amen. If you're going to get really right with God, you're going to get the peace of, you get peace with God. Here's the formula. You get the peace of God. You get the peace of God, you have a relationship with Him, and joy will be the result. Joy is the next step. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness. Starts with being right with God. It graduates to peace. Amen. And then it goes one more step. And joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen. By the way, that shout you got that let you down when the first trial come, that is not joy in the Holy Ghost that this is talking about. This is a sustained joy because of a relationship that's sustained. Amen. And He walks with me and He talks. See, that's where that joy is coming from. It's in that sustained relationship, the promise of His presence. But if you don't practice His presence, what good is the promise of His presence? If you go 6 days without entering into His presence and wait for church to do it one day on Sunday, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to stay strong. The joy of the Lord will not be your strength. Can you say amen? But if you've been walking with Jesus all week long, whatever you face, amen, that joy is going to provide a strength for your soul and your mind, and even your body is going to start feeling it. Amen. Do you know a merry heart does good like a merry heart does good like? Say that again. A merry heart does good like a? Well, what produces a merry heart? The joy of the Lord. It's not just dinner coming back. We missed you, Titter. We didn't laugh near as much over Christmas. So we're glad you're back. Hallelujah. Don't ever change that part of you. Amen. We all need to change other parts of us. stay ditto. Amen. Will we know each other in heaven? You bet. I'm going to see somebody and say, that's Ditter. God's going to give her a new name, Ditter. And a white stone. Hallelujah. Could be a name of Jesus that's intimate and personal based on that relationship. Could be a new name for us. Could be a combination of the two. There's possibilities that open up when it says that he'll give you a new name. It may be an intimate personal name based on a full-blown revelation of Jesus that goes beyond any earthly revelation that we could receive, because now, even though we have revelation, we're looking through a glass darkly. Amen. A smoked glass is the best we can see, and we think we got it good when he opens that up to us, and God says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? We're looking through a glass darkly, a smoked bottle. Amen. Everything that God has given man, still, amen, we still can't, we cannot fathom what is in store for us fully down here. Woo! Won't it be wonderful there? Hallelujah. Jesus, just the mention of his name. Jesus, just the mention of his name. So their hearts are broken. They're in repentance. They're getting right with God. And because they're getting right with God, they're going to have peace with God. They're reconciled now. God and they are not on different sides. They're not adversarial anymore. They're not enmity between Israel as a nation and God as their God. Now they've come again in humility and they're together. And the peace begins to flood their heart. David talked about that. He said, my bones waxed all old with roaring all the day long until, amen, he got it out, until he repented in Psalm 32. He said, don't hold your peace. As long as I held it in, it ate me up. Oh, but when I finally released it in repentance, amen, then the joy came, the peace came. Isn't that incredible? Amen. He said, don't be like the ox or the mule that has to be turned with the bit and bridle. Pressure. Everybody say pressure and pain. God does not want to use pressure and pain to get you to go in the right direction. He wants you to submit to him, surrender to him, because you love him and you can't stand not being right with him. Can you say amen? You need to keep such a love between husband and wife in this room that you cannot go to bed mad. You got to resolve it. You can't stand it. Even if you feel you're right, you want to somehow get reconciled because you can't stand what's gnawing on the inside. If you can, something's wrong and you need to get your heart softened again. If you can hold a grudge for a week, you need to hit the altar Sunday morning. You need to be the first one down the aisle. Boy, I got some amens. That's incredible. Like the cow from the sky. Amen. One that jumped over the moon. He got come down sometime. I imagine the insurance company had a real problem with that. Amen. God is so good tonight. He's called us to so much more than just doing our duty. He's called us to a love relationship with himself. So these people are heartbroken and they're weeping. And Ezra's seeing this, and the rest of the priests are seeing this. Said while the word of God was being taught from that pulpit of wood, the priest passed among the people and gave them the sense of it. That's what you do in a Bible study a lot of times, is give someone who's heard a scripture before the sense of it. What does this really mean? What does God really require? How do I take this and practically apply it? Boy, you can tell people getting a heart for God when they don't want to just listen to the preacher. They want to know how to take the word and apply it to their personal life situation. They want to be right with God. And in light of all of that they saw, they were guilt-ridden, and that guilt was hurting them. And not only were they guilt-ridden, but they were heartbroken. And the Bible said they all began to weep. All of these people were crying and said, Lord, we've sinned against you. We've failed you. We're sorry. We've sinned against you. And they're into that weeping mode. And then Ezra says, listen. Then he said to them in verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy. See, this day of repentance, this day of getting right with God, this day of breaking down that enmity, hallelujah, by getting our hearts back where it needs to be, this wonderful day that repentance has brought us to. Woo! Hallelujah. Can you say amen? This day is holy to the Lord. God said, I'm going to bless you just for that attitude of heartbrokenness and desire to be right with me. And I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to push you, press you, burden you. I'm going to let you know that my blessing is now going to rest upon you from this day forward. Go and send portions to them that don't have. Stop your weeping, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Hebrew word for strength is ma'oz. Ma'oz. And it means a place of safety, protection, refuge, stronghold. It means Israel's God is going to protect them from that day forward. God be for us, Paul said. Forget about it. All the netherworld, all the minions of hell, the devil himself, and every angel of darkness, forget about it. You didn't hear me. I said just forget about it. If God be for us, what more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, end of story. The argument is over. Hallelujah. Who can be against us? Glory be to God. That's what I'm talking about tonight. The joy of the Lord is your means of safety, your protection, your refuge, your stronghold. Amen. The joy of the Lord. While every generation of Christians needed this strength in the Lord, none needed it more than those who would live in the last days. The joy of the Lord is crucial to sustaining true spiritual strength. There is no way to get through the last days without the joy of the Lord. Because we're living in a perilous time. We're living in a pressurized time. It'd be difficult to live victoriously in a society that's so corrupted by Satan's lies and sin's unchecked destructive force. It's going to be tough. It is tough. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. How's it obtained? Amen. You just go and try to work yourself up into some Holy Ghost high? No, that is not what this context is. This is in Nehemiah. This is not in the New Testament. But you've got to be right with God if the Holy Ghost is going to manifest His presence. And that's not salvation by works nor legalism. It means that He's holy. Amen. And if you want to walk with Him, we've got to pursue holiness. We can't just shove it aside. Can you say amen? There's things that grieve the Spirit and things that will turn Him absolutely loose in your heart and mind. If I get wrong with you, it's going to grieve Him. If I get right with God and get right with you, it's going to please Him. Hallelujah. When a man's ways please the Lord, he's even able to cause his enemies to be at peace with him. I used to think they'd all love me. I found out that's not what that scripture means, and I looked at it more closely. You know what it means? It means they may hate the ground you walk on, but no weapon formed against you will prosper. And once they figure out that it's not, they're going to have to come to terms with you because they cannot defeat you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They can't really do you any lasting harm. Amen. Doesn't mean it won't hurt the flesh sometimes. But in your spirit, you will rise up and God will bless you in spite of them. If you keep your eyes on Him and quit looking at them. Can you say amen? The joy of the Lord is still your strength in that day of trouble and that day of persecution. When I was growing up, it was easier to live for God. It's tougher now. The pressure is on to compromise our convictions and just go with the flow. Amen. So I want to just skip some things here that we've been to before. The place of strength, this stronghold in the book of Nehemiah, is only found in a right relationship with God. And this right relationship with God is only found through repentance. Here's what Dave Wilkerson said. I'm going to read it again. Most Christians never associate joy with repentance. But repentance is actually the mother of all joy in Jesus. Without it, there can be no joy. Yet any believer or congregation who walks in repentance will be flooded with the joy of the Lord. I was in a revival meeting one time in a church that was running several thousand people, and it was based on new converts and people coming to Christ in every service. And I don't know what goes awry here, goes awry there, but I know when it started right. in different areas, so I'm not saying everything is perfect anywhere, but I'm saying I listened to hear what is producing this enthusiasm, what is producing this joy, why is there people standing in line to get in the building, what is the hook, what is the gimmick if there is one, amen, is it because people fall out, is it because people speak in tongues, is it because of physical miracles, healings, divine healings, what is the draw? And I found out it wasn't, while there were people healed, that was not the primary thing. While there were people that experienced mighty moves of the Spirit, that was not the primary thing. The primary thing that was drawing them was, amen, simply a gospel that was based on, we need to get right with God. They were talking about things like soap operas, taking all of your time and never taking time to get into God's presence. I thought, well, how practical is that? Why do you stand in line for someone to dish your soap opera? What is the point waiting 2 hours to hear that we need to get closer to Christ? What's bringing them? What's the hook? What's it take to turn you on? You probably wouldn't stand in a line if you were bothered by that, if you didn't want to hear some fundamental truth. But you can't sit and watch Oprah all day long and end up with victory when temptation comes. Amen. Dr. Phil does not. Great guy. I like him. He has not got the answers that the Bible has for you. Amen. And he can't do for you what Jesus can do for you. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? You don't get your life pattern, amen. You don't get your script for life from television celebrities or PhDs from colleges. You know what the statistics say? Marriage counselors, percentage-wise, has as many failed marriages as the people they counsel. Isn't that incredible to hear? That means with all of their answers, they haven't found the ultimate solution. I'm going to tell you there is an ultimate solution. All Christians haven't even discovered it. That's why we're not faring so well either. But I'm telling you there is an ultimate solution. And it's fundamental. It's not complex. Get thoroughly right with God, mister. Ma'am, get thoroughly right with God. I guarantee you, your marriage will make it. I guarantee you, the devil will not invade your home and tear it apart. I guarantee you, amen, the enemy will not overcome you or overwhelm you. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? And brother, that produces joy. Can you say amen? The joy of victory, the joy of knowing, no matter what happens, God will prevail. David had it to such a degree that when the ark was gone, Israel was in a shamefacedness and a vulnerability. But when the ark came back to its rightful resting place at Jerusalem, David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Why? Because the joy of knowing God is for us. God is with us now. We're bright with God and God is backing us up. What made him dance? Being right with God again. Amen. If you dance because the Spirit hits you, but you don't get right with God, it won't last. Amen. That's why repentance is something we need to proclaim. Amen. Without repentance. And that's what's wrong with the seeker-sensitive movement. They will not proclaim that we're sinners and we must repent. Because people with pride don't want to hear that. But I remind you, I don't care what they're saying or what we're seeing on the outside. God still resists the proud. And He still gives grace to the humble. So if we're going to get the grace we need and the forgiveness we need and the true joy of the Lord, we're going to have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And if you've got a heart for Him, that's not hard to do. If you lose a heart for Him, you'll walk in your own willful way. I don't want to walk in my willful way. I want the shepherd, amen, to keep me in the fold. I tell you what the shepherd used to do. Some of you that are becoming willful because you're drifting away from the first love and you got this Sunday morning thing going on. It may not be you. It may be someone here on the tape that's going to hear this. Isn't that a nice way of saying, don't take it personal if it ain't personal? Can you say amen? This tape is going out of here to far more people than are sitting here tonight. But if you found yourself willful, going your own way, knowing what the scriptures say, but doing your own thing. Every son that he loves, he chastens. Amen. And scourges everyone that he receives. Amen. Philip Keller, who was a shepherd, looked at the shepherd's psalm differently and those scriptures differently. Because he sometimes knew that pain in our life that God permitted, amen, in order to get our attention or bring us humble us again. I would rather practice humbling myself than to be humbled by a circumstance that he allows. Amen. You're not listening to me. I would much rather humble myself. The next time you get an attitude, how many know what that is without me explaining it? Amen. We don't have to go into detail. Amen. Your flesh will always justify that attitude. I've heard people tell me about their attitude and tell me it with an attitude and expect me to think that, boy, they're really something when they're mad. I don't look at them that way. I look at them like you're headed. Amen. I don't care if you're as right as rain. When you cop an attitude like that, you're headed for trouble. How do you know? Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If little Jimmy hits Johnny, gives him a black eye, and Johnny hits him back and gives him a bloody nose, nobody's going to get a whipping probably at the end of the day. But if Johnny hits Jimmy and Jimmy don't retaliate, somebody's going to get Johnny. I send you out as sheep among wolves. Vengeance is whose? He said, it's mine. Why? Because none of us are worthy. We think we are at times, but we're not. Not one of us is worthy to cast the first stone. None of us. And we can judge right from wrong, but we can't throw no rock at nobody. Even if they're dead wrong, we can't throw the rock. Are you hearing me? We can't. We must not. You know why? Because the same judgment we meet with Al. God said you trigger a spiritual law. That's going to come back to you. Amen. I'm going to, in other words, treat you like you treat other people. And the day will come you'll need mercy. But I'm going to give you what you gave them. See, David got mercy because Saul, his sworn enemy, wrong with God, wrong with David, sworn to kill David, he comes upon Saul in a cave. And Saul is sleeping without his guard near him. There must have been a back entrance to this cave, and one of his captains of war knew about it, and they snuck up on Saul while he was slumbering. And David looked down at him, and here's the advice. Listen, if you got a Bible, stay in it. Amen. Follow Christ's example. Don't let nobody tell you, well, if it was me, bless God. Well, it ain't you, and you're not going to have the consequences of my actions. I am going to try my best for once in my life to let Jesus reign in me. Can you say, man, let him be the Lord of my life? This captain of the war said, oh, look, here's Saul. Without his honor guard, here's Saul unprotected. God has delivered Saul into your hand. Kill him, in other words, and take the kingdom now. And David raises a dagger over him or a sword. But instead of plunging it into him, he takes a little piece of his garment and cuts it off. He wanted Saul to know, I had you. You were mine. And even that pride he repented of. And he said, I'm sorry. I even shamed him, who is my sworn enemy trying to kill me. But then a day came when David needed forgiveness. And David needed mercy. Whew. And God opened his heart to David. But he didn't just do it because he's merciful. He did it because David was merciful too. Blessed are the, for they shall obtain. Are you getting this teaching tonight? See how that works? Getting right with God is powerful stuff. The joy of the Lord is your indispensable strength. There's nothing like being right with God, because that's what the kingdom is based on, is getting right, righteousness. And the result of that righteousness, peace. And the result of that peaceful fellowship with God is what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. In quietness and confidence, God told Israel, shall be your strength. In other words, when you can stand and look at all your adversaries, all your enemies, and all the threats, and be settled in your heart, God is with us. He will not forsake us. We're going to keep our eyes on Him, and He's going to give us victory over all of these things. And go out and sing praise songs in the face of enemies that are overwhelming in number. And watch God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When a man's way... When David pleased God, Absalom couldn't take the kingdom from him. When he got back right with God, amen, no one could come up against him and prevail. Amen, he died a great king and a man after God's own heart. And a man that through the lineage of a man like him came, a man they not only call Son of God and Son of Man, but Son of David. Can you say amen? Woo! Somebody give God praise tonight. Hallelujah! So why do we have a problem with sinners repenting? Why do we have a problem? Because we want man to hang on to his pride and get all of God's blessings. Pride has to fall. Pride doesn't fall. We'll justify our attitudes. We'll justify our actions. We'll never get truly right with God. We'll lose our peace of that fellowship, relationship, and we'll lose our joy. And when you lose your joy, there goes your strength. Now you're vulnerable to your enemy, even your close enemy, the flesh. Can you say, man, how many know your flesh will defeat you over and over and over? And I know people that have lost that humility to the degree. Listen, David said, don't be like in Psalm 32, the horse and the mule that has to be turned about by the bit and bridle. Don't let pressure and pain be that humbles you. Recognize, amen, your need for forgiveness and repentance and humble yourself before the Lord. Amen. God resists the proud, but He always gives grace. Amen. What did He say? A broken reed He will not break. A bruised reed He won't break. And a smoking flax He will not quench. You come to God in brokenness, a broken and contrite spirit. Amen. It touches the very tugs at the very heart of God. Even when someone outside the covenant, even when the most evil place that you could be in, the most evil king you could be in the presence of, Nineveh. They actually sawed prophets asunder. According to the historian said, they took horses. And not only did they cut them in half, but they took two teams of horses. And I'm talking about six horses this way and six that way. Tied the man's hands and feet with rope that the boats were moored to a dock with. And whipped the horses until they pulled him apart. Jonah was given the mandate from God, go down there and preach repentance to them. And he said, they're just going to kill me and they're not going to come to you. So what's the point of me giving my life? They won't listen. I'm going to Tarsus. I'm going to get away from this preaching, prophesying stuff. Real prophets don't have it easy, darling. Everybody's not applauding them and wanting to be like them. Because they have to preach what God gives them. To people who don't want to hear it most of the time. So if any ministry out there, I like what Spurgeon, was it Spurgeon that said, one of the great preachers of old said, be assured that the church that the world loves is the one that God abhors. Oh, by the way, said, don't listen to the false prophets. Amen. Don't be like them that came before you because the world embraced them. They accepted them because they told them exactly what they wanted to hear. That's what's wrong with seeker-sensitive, user-friendly church. We're telling people what they want to hear instead of what thus saith the Lord. When man is too proud to accept what thus saith the Lord, God resists them. And some preachers cry in peace when there's no true peace. That peace only comes when we get right with God. Can you say, man, somebody give Him praise tonight. Amen. You know better. I know better. They can tell me I'm all right, but when I go home and have to live with my conscience, I'm just like David. My bones wax old with roaring. My moisture is turned into drought. And that's why you see so many Christians just looking like they can't stand to live another day. And they need to get it back. And I don't care how long you've been saved, you need to humble yourself down. Amen. You need to get rid of your pride. You need to make yourself an altar at some point in time. Because you haven't arrived at a place of super sanctification to where you can just point out others' needs without dealing with your own. That's a dangerous place to get into. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season. He will fight the battle. It won't be your battle of words or anything else that is won. God is so good tonight. Well, we got conviction settling on us. And that's okay if you love the Lord. If you don't love Him, then you need to be convicted. Hallelujah. What is missing, Mr. Wilkerson said, in multitudes of churches today is the thing most needed by the lost. Genuine, soul-satisfying joy. Amen. Those weeping Israelites of Nehemiah's day were tapping into the joy of the Lord's forgiveness and restoration. Matthew Henry comments on that, said, after they wept, they rejoiced. Holy mourning makes way for holy mirth. Those that sow in tears will reap in joy. Those that tremble at the conviction of the word may triumph in the consolations of it. Hello? So go ahead and cop an attitude if you are determined. But the bit and bridle, if you're a Christian, will be applied. Somewhere down the road. May not happen next week or next month. It may not even happen next year. But here's a news flash for you. It's going to happen. The law of sowing and reaping works. One man said, the wheels of God turn slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. God doesn't forget that. And there will be a day when you need mercy. And it would be good if you have sown mercy so God can give you mercy. Get right with God. You know what revival is? It doesn't start with the world coming to Jesus. It starts with Christians getting right and the world seeing the change. It's very impressive to the world to see genuineness out of the church. It impresses them. You don't have to say or do anything. Just become humble instead of proud and boastful. Become sweet instead of rude. Become unpretentious and sincere instead of putting on a front. Become humble and loving instead of self-righteous and accusing. And maybe somebody will recognize Christ dwells in you. Can you say amen? Can you say amen to that? They don't need another attitude from the church. They need not another definition of Christianity. They need a demonstration of Christianity. They need to see joy in your life. They need to see peace in your heart, an unrattled, unshakable peace. That's what I'm after. Because sometimes mine shakes. And I want to get my mind more stayed on Him. And I can't do it by just the media, and I can't do it by just even friends who give me advice. I have to set myself, amen, to seek Him. Sometimes somebody thinks they're doing you a favor and siding with you when you're wrong. They're not. Amen. I mean, no, they're not. Amen. We're going to close. I'm just getting warm under this coat. I'm getting convicted too. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. I don't want any stones in the well. One of the things the enemies used to do, amen, when the wells were a sign of ownership, it was like in the old mining days when you went out and staked your claim. You could claim land by digging a well on it. When you dug the well on it, it meant it belongs to you. Jacob had dug a well, and when the enemies came in, the first thing they did was clog up Jacob's well. I love the scripture that talks about going back to that well and taking out the dirt, taking out the grime. Sometimes they would throw a dead animal in it and let it decay down in it to putrefy the water so it wouldn't be good for drinking or anything else. Amen. But you go and it said we digged those ancient wells. Hallelujah. They went back and they pulled the stones out. They got the corruption out. They got all of the dirt out of it. Amen. And guess what was down beneath all of that when they unclogged it? That pure, listen, if it's a well, if it's an artesian well, I'm not talking about, amen, something that holds water when it rains, but something that has a source to it. Can you say amen? When they got back to the source of that pure water and they got the junk out of the way, guess what happened? That well began to rise up and spring up again. Can you say, upabahas? I'm telling you, repentance and a cry for cleansing unstops those ancient wells where the pure water of the Spirit flows. And when you get a pure flow of the Holy Ghost, amen, I'm telling you, you're going to have the joy of the Lord to strengthen you. And when you talk to people about the Bible, they're going to sense Christ. Not just you with a head full of Bible knowledge, but Jesus wanting to reach out to them. World that turns you off may indeed embrace Him. if they can see Him in spite of us. Oh, I love the Lord tonight. The writer of Amazing Grace said, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Someone else has said, fear God, and you need fear nothing else. The joy of the Lord is the joy of sins forgiven. The joy of the Lord is the joy of a relationship restored. The joy of the Lord is the joy of a clear conscience. The joy of the Lord is the joy of certain victory in battle. The joy of the Lord is the joy of a covenant in effect. The joy of the Lord is the joy of answered prayer. The joy of the Lord is the joy of God's presence made manifest to us. This guy Venable wrote these things. Praise God. The joy of the Lord, amen, made David dance before the Ark of the Covenant. The joy of the Lord caused Israel to shout down the walls of Jericho. The joy of the Lord caused the glory to fill the temple and as the people sang praise unto God. The joy of the Lord shook a prison and set the captives free when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. The joy of the Lord shook the New Testament church when a lame man came in running and leaping and praising God. The joy of the Lord is evidence of true repentance, and God wants us to repent and reclaim the joy of the Lord and renew our strength. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now someone else said, as we read the Bible, we find the same two truths these people found. One scholar said, a need for repentance and the joy of forgiveness. Everybody say, need for repentance and the joy of forgiveness. Repentance does not lead to depression, but celebration. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I will work more, read more, study more, participate more when I am strong and filled with joy. Nehemiah understood that the congregation needed joy, and joy comes from connecting with God. Can you say amen? When people come together each Sunday, it should be a celebration. Amen. There may be times when we need repentance, but as I stated, repentance needs to celebration. Oswald Chambers, who wrote from a quote from his book, My Utmost for His Highest, notes that joy comes from having a right relationship with God. This is what he said. Jesus is here now, right now. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be. His presence produces joy, and joy heals. Joy inspires. Joy refreshes. Joy conquers depression. Joy turns despair into light. Joy puts a song in your heart. Joy refreshes your mind. Joy reduces the size of the giant and the size of the problem. Joy elevates the body and restores it in the presence of the Lord. And you can have it right now because Jesus is here in our midst. Hallelujah. I believe 2006 is a year of the favor of the Lord. I believe people that want to get right with God are going to experience the joy of the Lord and have the strength of the Lord and have the faith to trust Him. I believe the mully grubbers are going to quit mully grubbing and start learning to praise God. I believe the people that feel like they've had a bad hit in life are going to learn to give thanks in all things and come in here and praise God anywho. Can you say amen in spite of it all to lift up His name? I challenge you to let 2006 be a year where you determine to lift up and exalt His name. Hallelujah. Not your hurts, not your past, not your present problems, but His promise, hallelujah, to be your God and you're going to be His people. Hallelujah. God wants to make some positive, powerful changes. I believe this year can be a year where we obtain the favor of the Lord. Amen? How many know if God is for us? It's just that simple. If God is for us, He will provide. He will protect. He'll make a way where there seemeth to be no way. It's all based on being right with Him. Can you say amen? Get right with Him, right with your fellow man. The Holy Ghost is going to flow through you, to you and through you. Can you say amen? You can't help it. You'll be like a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. That's why the Bible said one of the most ugly churches, He said, be zealous therefore and repent to Laodicea. As many as I love, I rebuke. And I chasten. Why? So repentance can come. So restoration of fellowship can come. So real joy can come forth. Amen? For the joy of the Lord is your true strength. Not the stuff you've accumulated in life. The joy of Jesus, that's your true source of strength. You lose that, you're going to lose the battles of life. It's just that simple. Faith doesn't stand alone. Follow after faith, hope, and love, these three. The greatest is love. Amen? And it's that relationship God wants to crystallize in all of our hearts. Now, I don't know what you need to repent of, and I don't want to make a spectacle of all who need to repent here. I know what I need to repent of. And I want to stand here repentant before God. I want the cleansing. I want to apply the blood of Jesus to my life. I want to flow in the Holy Spirit. I don't want to hinder that. I don't want to grieve Him. I need Him too desperately. Amen. I don't want to get the last word in the argument. I'd rather not argue, but if I engage in an argument, I do not want to get the last word and get in the wrong attitude to get it, because in the end I lose anyway. I don't want my bones waxing old with roaring. Let them age naturally. Can you say, man, let me just grow old, but hopefully grow sweeter and not grow old and grow hard and set. I don't want to ever be in the ministry long enough, in the Bible long enough, or in the Christian way long enough, amen, to where I don't feel times where I need to come before the Lord and say, forgive me for the attitude I have or the activity that I've had. Forgive me, Lord. I want to be right with You, because the moment